Well, the group Mothers in Charge is now in its second year. Many members are parents of victims of violence in Kansas City, and the group is determined to make this city safer for our kids. How are members doing that? We're about to find out. With us today is Rosalind Temple. She's executive director of KC Mothers in Charge. And Rosalind, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
And joining her are two other members of the group, Kendra Jackson. Kendra, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Steve.
And Lenora Williams. Lenora, how are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you too, Steve.
Well, Rosalind, how is the group changing and growing now that you're in your second year?
Well, the group, we're standing more united together, and we're standing stronger. We have came together more in impacting our community, stepping out, coming out of our comfort zone, definitely. Growing, we have definitely grown. It's seven mothers that all been victimized by homicide. We're walking in pain and grief every day.
Yeah.
We're going into prisons. We speak in prisons twice a month, each month. We're going into schools. We're doing more work in our community, just in a new location.
Yeah. Kendra, I was wondering, so what do you guys do exactly? What are Mothers in Charge all about?
We go out to the community, and we're committed to making and reducing the number of violent acts in Kansas City. We also go out and reach out to those individuals who have been impacted by violence, and we kind of ease the pain as much as we can. We can't take away the pain, and we also provide the resources that these families may need at the time. We offer vigils. We're just here to them if they need to talk. We're an outlet as well, and as I said before, we're here to offer the resources that they may not have available to them.
You know, Lenora, so you're a support group in a sense is what you're saying.
We're a support group.
You know, Lenora, I'm just wondering the impact of the mothers in this program getting out on the streets and letting people in this city sort of see and talk to you guys who are feeling so much pain every day. What's the impact of that?
The impact of that, I feel, is very important, and it's really impacted our community when we go out and do the canvassing in the neighborhood where the crime took place at. And we just want to reach out to them, let them know we're here, and we out canvassing our neighborhoods, want to take our communities back.
Because for so many people, and tell me if I'm wrong, you know, a homicide is something that happens today and then it's yesterday's news and life moves on. But you guys are the living embodiment of this idea that what happened at a homicide a month ago or a year ago or 5 years ago, it's still with you very much every day.
Exactly. Still with us every day. And we want to keep the homicide out there, especially when they're not solved. We want to keep them out front in the community to let them know we're still want to get these people off the street and solve their homicides, even though it's been a year, 2 years, or 5 years, or however long. We want to keep that homicide out there to let them know we need to get these unsolved homicides solved.
And Rosalind, these days in this city, there's a whole lot of pain going on.
A whole bunch of pain. Yes, it is, Steve. You know, just this passing Thanksgiving Eve, loss of my son, 2011 Thanksgiving Eve. This was the hardest year. Back to year one, it was really a struggle for me to make it through Thanksgiving Eve, Thanksgiving Day, but I made it. But it's going to homicide scenes, supporting these families, supporting our community, supporting the police department.
How hard is it for you to go to a homicide scene, given what you've been through in your own life?
It's not hard because this is what I needed. I needed the same thing that I'm doing to families now, but there wasn't no one there to do it. So it's not hard at all. It's going out there loving on my community, loving on my families, loving on that loved one matter. It was someone's child. Someone loved that person. And it'd be a support of my police department, of my community, because a community shouldn't have to deal with things like this. This is not normal. Homicide is not a normal thing. Homicide is a health problem. It's an epidemic. We have an epidemic on our hand. It's not normal where our children on a school bus pulling up and it's a homicide in the neighborhood. You know, how do a child get off a school bus and think they have to live in that community every day and walk past that same spot or the same house where this homicide take? This is not something normal.
Yeah. I wonder if the three of you would share your stories with our listeners because, again, these stories are so powerful and so impactful. And, Kendra, what happened to you? What happened to your family?
My son was murdered March 13th, 2015, at Seven Oaks Park. His name was Asan Williams.
So we're just going back 7-8 months here.
Yeah, this is fresh for me. My pain is pretty fresh, but within this pain, that's why I joined Mothers in Charge, because I felt I had to get out in the community. If I could stop just one mom from feeling the pain that has impacted my family, you know, that's a relief. That was my only child. So I had a lot stolen from me. I had my son stolen from me. I had my hopes and dreams of becoming a grandma stolen from me. I had a generation stolen from me. I had a kid that was graduating stolen from me. I had to walk across the stage and accept my son's diploma on his behalf. So I had a lot of stolen moments. I didn't get the prom. So I had a lot of stolen moments, and that's my story.
And this is a high school graduation you're talking about.
His high school graduation.
Tell me about your son. What kind of young man was he?
He was a great young man. He was wise beyond his years. He was laid back, very, very intelligent. Just an all-out people person. Everybody loved him. He had so much love. When he was murdered, the city was in disbelief because they couldn't understand who would want to murder him. Everybody loved him. Everybody had good things to say about him. And we were just looking forward to a bright future. A young man, we were looking forward to a bright future, and all that was stolen from us.
What was he going to be someday? Where did you see him going?
He wanted to join the armed forces. Mm. That's what he wanted to do. And that's what his dream was. And it was cut short.
Do we know who killed him?
Still unsolved.
How does that hit you every day? That unsolved nature of all of this?
It hits like a ton of bricks. There's no closure. There were several witnesses at the park. Several of the witnesses were friends. So it hits like a ton of bricks that this case is still unsolved with that many witnesses that were at the park that day. And this wasn't 8 or 9 o'clock at night. This was during the day that my son was murdered and left.
How did Mothers in Charge change your life and help you get through this time?
Mothers in Charge saved my life. People look at me and they say, "You're so strong. I can't believe you're doing the things you're doing in your community. I can't believe you're getting along how you are." And it's that support. And that's why we're always saying you need that community support so you won't fall. People are falling because they don't have that community support. Mothers in Charge saved my life. I had strangers in my home in the middle of the night who came to support me. One of the other Mothers in Charge took off a whole week and was with me the whole time for decisions that I couldn't even make. I couldn't even fathom. Rosalind came and got me and took me to the detective's office. I couldn't even see the streets. Everything was just a cloud. So Mothers in Charge saves lives. Maybe not a physical death, but they save lives. And that's the impact they had on me. And that made me want to be a part of this. Who else's life can I save? Who else will not have to go through this alone? And you have all these family members and you have this support, but when you have someone that has gone through the same thing as you, it's just a different kind of bond. It's a different meaning. And I know you understand me.
Mm-hmm.
And that just gives you just a little bit more solace that I have a family of sisters around me who understand exactly what I'm going through.
And the rest of us sort of get it, but I imagine to some degree that only people like the two women on either side of you today, they're the only ones who really sort of get it, right?
They're the only ones that really, yeah, really get it.
Yeah. Lenora Williams, tell me your story. What happened to your son?
Yes, my son's name was Richard Anderson Preston III. He was murdered on a Saturday, which was July 20th, 2013, and I'm 2 years in. And that day changed my life forever, because when my son was murdered, a part of me died. Because I couldn't fathom or believing that this happened to me, or, you know, my only son that I had is gone now. It took a big part of me, and it's just really devastating to go on with my life without Richard. But
tell me about Richard's life and where he was going.
Okay, Richard, he was a very intelligent young man. He was very well-mannered, very respectful. I called him Little Richard. He was my support system. Whenever I was down, Richard was there for me. here. Always check on me. Mama, are you okay? Mama, is anything I can do for you? Or just say, Mama, I love you. And now that he's gone, I never get that again. I will never get their phone call. Mama, hey, how you doing? Are you feeling okay? What can I do for you today? You know, and Richard would have been graduating from UMKC with his BA in business because he wanted to one day own his own business. He said he wanted to be his own boss.
What kind of business did he want to do?
He didn't ever say. First, he wanted to be, like, working with computers because he loved taking computers apart and rebuilding the computers. And that's what he wanted to do. And he also decided if he wanted to go to the service or not. But he said he wanted to be his own boss. He wanted to help his community and help people to see that, being a young black man, you don't have to be out here in the streets. Mm-hmm. You can get an education and be what you want to be and own your own company. But Richard would never get that chance now because he's gone.
How did you lose him? What happened?
He was murdered at a nightclub, Skyline's on 86th and Truce. He was in the parking lot. Somebody was shooting at each other, and my son got hit in the crossfire. Mm. And that changed my life forever.
Boy. Women in Charge, how did they come? How did they come help you out?
Mothers in Charge.
Mothers in Charge. Yeah.
Yes, was a very big help to me because if it wasn't for Rosalind and all the other mothers reaching out to me when my son was murdered, I don't think I would be here today because it was consuming me to lose my son. But when I joined Mothers in Charge, they led me and helped me to see that this is a tragedy that happened to me. I can step out there and be my son's voice and not let his death be in vain, or I can just sit back and not do anything. So I chose to step up and get out there to help other mothers who's walking in my pain and grief to let them know it will get okay. It will be easier, but it's a day-by-day process dealing with this. And don't sit back on the sidelines. Just let this keep on happening.
Yeah. Rosalind Temple, I want to find out your story as well, but I'm also interested in how this organization works, Mothers in Charge. And you get a phone call in the night and you're up and out of bed and you're out to someone's home to offer support and compassion, or how does it work?
I get a phone call night or day. I'm on call 24 hours a day.
Because police know to call you. They know you.
Yes, the Sergeant of Homicide Murder Squad will call me when they get a call that's been a homicide in our community. I get a call. I go out to the scene. I'm out there to support the family. Sometimes the family's not even there, so I'm out there even for that loved one. I know that it matters to someone. Someone loved. That's someone's child.
Mm-hmm.
I go out there to the scenes, and I stand there, and I support the police department.
How do you move into a family who's lost a loved one? They may know who you are. They may not know who you are. And I'm wondering, how do you gain access and let them know who you are and why you're there at such a difficult moment like that?
I just walk up. We have these shirts that we wear, KC Mothers in Charge.
You're wearing it right now.
We're wearing them right now. We have different color ones. And by now, our community knows who we are. I walk up and I tell them who I am. And I understand their pain. I'm a mother that lost a child here to homicide as well. And a mother just, and a father that just grabs, they just grabs onto us. They grab onto me. They hold on.
They need it right then.
They need that. They need to hear that. And that was something that I needed to hear in 2011, that there wasn't no one there to do that. You know, I remember standing on my son's scene from 10:30 at night at his own apartment to 6 in the morning before they was able to move my son out of his apartment. And there was no one there but me and my youngest son, the media, and the police department. People had came out earlier and been around. There was so many people there, but after so many hours, people go home and go back to their norm, their norm. But my norm was totally changed.
Again, this was Thanksgiving night 2011, you said.
Thanksgiving Eve 2011, November 23rd.
What happened?
My son was supposed to, he just had got his first apartment. He was starting his job, H&R Block, December 3rd, 2011. He had brought all my Thanksgiving food, and his Thanksgiving food, he said, Mom, I want to cook my Thanksgiving dinner at home. And so I was going to help him cook some of it. I had some of them at my home, some of it at his home.
That would have been a disaster all by himself, probably. He needed to help him out a little bit, right?
Yes, I had to. I had to put that mother touch to it.
Yes, absolutely.
And I, you know, I was a machine operator. My job consumed my life. I worked a 12-hour shift, 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. So that Thanksgiving Eve, I would have to go back to work, and I would have got out the evening, would have been out Thanksgiving. But that morning, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I just felt something heavy on me. I know what it was, but I went on to work, made it work, and I called my son every break I had. He would not answer his phone. That's not normal, my son. Even if our kid slides a voicemail, they would call you right back, and he mm-hmm. never did. Mm-hmm. I remember clocking out at 6 that evening, getting in my car and driving off the lot, and immediately getting on my phone and called my nephew and a couple of his friends and have they talk to my son. And they called my son Pee-wee. Mm-hmm. That's what I call my son's a baby. He was Pee-wee. And I have they talked to him. No one has talked to him that day. So I remember getting home and putting on my pajamas and putting my sweet potato pies in the oven, but still on the phone trying to find out where's my child. I remember my youngest son coming in from work and asking him if he talked to his brother that day. He said, my mom, no. So at that time, I took my pies out of the oven, and I remember putting my turkey in the oven. I told my granddaughter, she was there with me, I said, come on, I got to go find my child. My son lived 10 blocks basic from me. I went up to my son's apartment, Oak Hill Manor Apartments. And I walked around, tried to get in the main entrance, couldn't get in the main entrance, but I walked around that building, knocked on windows, just to try to have somebody come open the main door. No one came to the window, no one. And I remember seeing a young man walk up the street. I said, hey, can you please tell me how to get into this building? And he said, ma'am, all you got to do is move this little lock, take a stick. And I said, well, sir, could you please do it? And he did it for me. I got in my son's apartment. I went to his apartment door, and I knocked the door. I shook the handle, and it was deadbolt locked. At this point, I called the after-hours apartment complex number, and the maintenance answered the phone. I told him I was Roslyn Temple, and my son's name was Antonio Thompson. His name was Pee-wee, and this is the apartment. I can't get it. I can't find my child. He said, ma'am, we cannot come to and let you in his apartment because you're not on the lease. I understood the law. I understood everything he was saying. I know he had to do his job, but at that point, I called the KCPD, mm-hmm. and for some reason that year, they sent a sergeant out, and he said they normally don't send a sergeant out, and he did the same thing. He called the office number. I told him my situation. He called the office number, and after that, he said, ma'am, he looked at me. He said, ma'am, do you think your son would leave town on my answer's phone? I said, no, he wouldn't. I said, sir, he started his new job December 3rd, 2011. He just moved to his new apartment. He had been in his apartment 1 month. So I said, he would not do that. And the sergeant said, ma'am, I'm going to call the fire department. We're going to kick the door in. He made a decision. He looked at me as a mother and made a decision, knowing that something was wrong. I said, sir, if you go in there and tell me my son's not there, I will go home and finish cooking my Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. And when the fire department came out, they made me, my granddaughter, leave out the building. And I knew it took him too long. When that sergeant walked out that door that day, he looked at me that night. And the way the look he gave me, shook his head. I fell to the ground. I could not breathe. They had to call the fire department after and give me oxygen. But when I got my breath, all I could say is, Lord, I trust you. He said, my son was deceased. And all I know, the homicide, the police department came from everywhere. Tapering off, cars came from everywhere. I knew family, social media had picked it up before anything. So that was my son. He was 26 years old.
And what happened?
He was shot. Gun violence. Someone went in my son's apartment, violated him in the worstest way. That was his apartment, and then locked him up in there.
And they don't know who did it.
It's unsolved today. It's 4 years.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking this morning about a group, a two-year-old group here in Kansas City, Mothers in Charge. Parents of victims of violence in Kansas City, they're determined to make this city safer for its kids. We're visiting with Rosalind Temple. She's executive director of KC Mothers in Charge, and two members, Kendra Jackson, Lenora Williams. I want to point out that the first fundraiser for Mothers in Charge will take place on January 14th at 5 in the afternoon at the Lady Volkus Gallery down at the crossroads at 2012 Baltimore. This will be a great opportunity to meet Rosalind Temple and some of the other members of her group to check out some provocative art as well. Because you guys need some staff, and this fundraiser is designed to raise some money to hire some staff for Mothers in Charge, right?
Yes, I don't have any staff. We have no staff in the office. I need a part-time office manager that we're going for, because I'm in the office, I'm in the community, I'm in big meetings, we're doing everything. My volunteer mothers, they're volunteers, they work their regular jobs, and they're doing the best they can do, but we're all standing together.
Yeah,
we're part of a club that we didn't ask to join. We was forced into this club, but we stand here in our community and we take our streets back. You know, we prevent education to help someone not to become a homicide victim or family become victimized the way we have been.
If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Kendra Jackson, I'm just wondering if you can give us your sense of what's going on out on Kansas City streets these days. I mean, this year, the homicide total is up a little bit, and that's not the greatest barometer of what's going on out there. But what's your sense? What's happening out on Kansas City streets that all of us need to be aware of?
No accountability. We have individuals.
What do you mean by that? Yeah.
We have individuals who are out committing these murders, and we have a community that won't stand up for their own community, and they won't give the police the information that they need to solve these hideous crimes that are going around Kansas City. So we have a lack of accountability going on in our city. Lack of community, lack of family sticking together, that gives people the heart to think that this is okay to commit these kind of crimes.
People won't talk to the police. Why?
Culture. It's a culture of no snitching.
No, distrust of the police.
Distrust of the police.
Even this department with this chief and the leaders he's put in place.
Distrust of police. There's a culture of no snitching. They think it's cute. They brag. No snitching. Snitches get ditches. Things of that nature. So no accountability. Your neighbor's not going to hold you accountable. Your friends aren't going to hold you accountable. Like I said, there were witnesses, and they're not going to hold each other accountable. And I've actually...
That's breathtaking what you're saying to me, because we're talking about homicides on the streets of Kansas City, and no one's stepping forward.
No one's stepping forward. And sometimes when people are not going to be accountable for their actions, sometimes we got to step up as a community and make those people accountable. And that's why I fought so hard to get cameras in that park that my son was murdered in. Okay, the community may not want to be accountable, but we're going to find a way for those individuals to be accountable for their actions.
You know, I'm wondering if Kendra Jackson, when you get around town and you tell people who you are, if your presence and what's happened to you helps cut through exactly this no snitching mentality that you're describing here.
It does help cut through. In order to get those cameras in the park, I had to actually canvass that neighborhood.
And you're talking about cameras that will keep surveillance in the park
in the
future.
Park, yes.
This is where your son died.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I went to canvass that neighborhood, people were a little reluctant. And then I had to tell them my story. And when you have a personal touch, people seem to understand.
It changes things, doesn't it?
It changes things. And I also told them, fight for your community. You might not be all on the news or rallying or picketing and holding up signs, but you can still fight for your community. This is your community. Fight for it. Just by signing your name, you didn't break a sweat. You didn't leave the comfort of your own home, but you fought right there for your community.
Are you able, when you make these talks, you have these talks, are you talking to young people as well as adults who might have more stakes in their community?
Yes, it's a variety of people. And the young people, they understand too. It's just that we won't reach out to them, and we don't listen to what their needs are. Mm-hmm. I have met with young people in a forum, and they have said, you won't listen to what our needs are. If you listen to them, And let them tell you what they need in their community to survive, we can touch them. But we all sit around as adults and we make these decisions on what they need, and we need to work together.
Give me a sense. What are we missing? What are we not hearing that we should be hearing that these folks want us to know?
They need the support. That's why they're not telling. They need the support. They need to feel safe. That was the number one thing when I went into the school. They don't feel safe. And no matter what it looks like, there's more people that want to do right than wrong. But you have three or four people that are doing wrong that are scaring the other 25 people that want to do right. So we need to find out, how do we give them the support they need? How do we make these young people feel safe? Because we say, tell me everything you know, and then we go home. And then they're left with, they have told. So we have to figure out how to make these people feel safe. And as a community, we need to stick together and make them feel safe. If you know someone in your neighborhood has given the police information, everybody stick together. So the three or four will feel intimidated. But we're letting the three or four intimidate the numbers.
So you're saying not only do we have to listen to the young people, but we've got to be responsive to what they're talking about. Just listen and say, thanks, I appreciate you talking to me, I'm going home tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to some calls. Greg from Kansas City, Missouri. Greg, you're on Up to Date with members of Mothers in Charge. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks. Again, you always have meaningful shows, but this is where the rubber meets the road. And I will attend the fundraiser in January and we'll spread the word. But I also wonder, what other opportunities are there for parents, those of us who even haven't lost our kids? I mean, my heart is so heavy just hearing all this. What can we do other than fundraise to help? What kind of volunteer opportunities are there? Because we really got to stop this violence.
Rosalind?
And we have volunteers. We have supporters and volunteers. We don't want it to happen to you. Thank you for calling. We would love for you to come. We have a couple hours training, 2 hours training that we do for supporters and volunteers. We have plenty of work for you to do, help in the outfield and help inside the office, you know.
But where is the office? Give us a sense where you are.
We're at 3200 Wayne, the Robert J. Mohawk Center, Linwood Multipurpose Center, Kansas City, Missouri, 64109.
You have your own office there.
Yes, we have our own office in Suite 124 West.
So there's no question you can get Greg and put him to work.
I sure could. I can use Greg.
Now you're in trouble, Greg.
Hey, I've been in worse trouble, Steve.
All right.
Now, I know you're looking for volunteers, and that affects staffing hours. Are there certain hours that somebody is present at 3200 Wayne?
We try to be there between 9 and 1. I'm on call 24 hours. Sometimes I might get a homicide call. I might have two homicides in one night. So when we come into office, it might be varies, but you can always call me and I can always put you to work. Maybe you can open up the office and be in the office.
What number should Greg call? Do you want to tell him over the open air here? Are you okay with that?
Yes, I am. You can call it. The office number is 816-912-2601. The after hours number is 816-606-8118.
8118.
Okay. And Steve, are you guys going to post this on your site?
Yeah, we're going to do that. I'm going to give that number out again. 816-912-GREG-2601 is that first number she gave out. That's the key one, I think, to go forward with at this point. Did you get that, Greg?
Right. Yes, sir.
And we'll try and get that up on our website as well. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, Greg.
You're welcome. Take care.
I want to mention the date of that fundraiser again. Mothers in Charge, their first fundraiser, January 14th, 5 o'clock in the Crossroads, the Lady Volkus Gallery, 2012 Baltimore. A great opportunity to meet Rosalind Temple and other members of Mothers in Charge. Lenora Williams, what do you think is going on out in the streets these days? Give us your view of what's happening out on Kansas City's own streets.
What's happening out there on the streets are just people who are not caring about life anymore. Just like your life doesn't matter. And it is so much violence in the streets that I never seen before in this generation. But you just got people out here walking freely with guns and they're just taking people's lives and don't even have no remorse about what they're doing to the family of the individual that they're hurting. It is so much violence out here that we just need to stop it and just come together and be as a united front for our communities and let them know we're not going to keep allowing this to happen.
You know, I understand violence. I know what that is. I don't understand not caring about it once I've done it. That's what I'm having a hard time wrapping my arms around.
I am too. I don't understand it. That's like they can go take a life and go back to their normal life just as if it's something they do on a daily basis. Like they don't care. I don't care about your life, so I'm going to take it.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for coming in and sharing your stories. I know that's not a lot of fun, but it helps us understand what you're up against and the important work that you're doing. Rosalind Temple, Executive Director of Kansas City Mothers in Charge, Kendra Jackson, along with Lenora Williams. Thank you all for coming in today. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on January 14th, okay?
Thank you very much.
If you want to hear how returning soldiers are giving back to their communities or hear some advice for liberals, you can listen to that show and download our podcast. Just go to kcur.org/uptodate. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Uptodate. Follow me at Steve Kraske. Monday, we examine homeschooling regulations in Kansas and Missouri. Our theme music, that great theme music, is composed by Bobby Watson. We had help this week from KCUR's Linda Scher, Bill Brownlee, Danny Alexander, Lisa Rodriguez, Beth Lipoff, and Taylor Johnson. Our senior producer is Steven Steigman. I'm Steve Kraske. Have a great weekend, all. And you are up to date.